As I said, we had a great vacation Bible school. Monday we had 71 kids here. Tuesday we had 81. Wednesday 84. Thursday 91. And then on Friday we had 102 kids. And man, what a blessing. Over $1,000 was given to the Stokes family. And man, we are just excited about that. Our lessons were on a person named John Payton. He was a man out of Scotland, and who then went to Vanuatu, or the New Hebrides Islands at the time. Why discuss him? In your bulletin this morning, I just had one of his quotes, and I'd like to read it to you. He says this: "As I lay down my pen, let me record my immovable conviction that his is the noblest service in which any human being can spend or be spent. And that if God gave me back my life to be lived over again, I would, without one quiver of hesitation, lay it on the altar to Christ, that he might use it as before in similar ministries of love, especially among those who have never yet heard the name of Jesus. God gave his best, his son, to me, and if I give my best, my all, to him." That was the heart of this man. And he was a person that we could talk about and take some lessons from. Not just children, but adults also. It was a blessing. Again, this week, so many hands went into it, and I couldn't possibly thank everybody. But if you were here, you made it work, and I'm thankful. If you were home and you prayed, you made it work, and I'm thankful. Judges chapter 11. We'll be discussing this morning. Now, I recognize the time. It is close to, it's almost lunchtime. It's 11:45. And lunch is almost ready. It's right out there. It's just hot dogs. We just got to warm them up. And depending on how things go, I have enough to cover the whole chapter. But there's some really important thoughts that I would like to draw from the first three verses. The book of Judges is a little bit different than the book of Kings. The king would succeed the next king over and over. Judges is a little bit different. God would bring about a judge to, well, judge the nation of Israel. Usually because they were doing something wrong. And while the judge reigned, people did right. But as soon as the judge would die, they would fall back into apostasy and chase after strange gods and idols. And then God would judge them and bring up another judge. And this is what is happening here in the book of Judges. Now, in Judges chapter 11, we're looking at the ninth judge. His name is Jephthah. Most of us know the story of Jephthah. The latter part, he makes a vow. And he says something very foolish. And we're going to kind of maybe lead up to that. He's about to fight the people of Ammon. And he says, "Lord, if you would give me the victory, the next thing that walks through my door after the victory, I will give to you." And you know the story. But long before that ever happens, we have Judges chapter 11 and verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, it's just been good to my heart to be in church already. Lord, the saints and your songs, and to praise you, to worship you, to glorify what you've done and what are doing in our midst. Lord, thank you. God, as we open up the scriptures this morning, I pray that we would again please you with what is said. Lord, Lord, please give me the right spirit, the right words to say, the right connotation, the right approach to your word. Lord, I want to be a blessing and help. And Lord, I pray that you'd help here. Help me. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to your word. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jephthah, the mighty judge, as the Bible says in verse 1, now Jephthah the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. Valor, mighty man of valor, indicates a couple things to me. Number one, he was strong, had some strength, had some possibly military ability, combat ability. How do you know that? Just by the words that are used similarly in the scriptures. Mighty man. We see David's mighty men and what they accomplished. Similar words. So therefore, he has proven himself somehow, some way, and the ability to lead and in combat. But not only that, it ties the word valor. Valor indicates that he was a man of character, of an excellent spirit. So not only could he wield the sword, but he also handled himself wisely, which a lot of times we see are two separate things. Maybe we would equivalent would be not so much military, but even in the sports world. Man, that guy could hit the ball, but he's awful in real life. How many times do we see that, right? And those things don't usually go. Why? Because usually a mighty man deals with something within his soul, which is pride. And pride is incredibly destructive to any human. But Jephthah had something about him. Not only was he a mighty man, he was also a man of valor. So he was a good balance or blend of not only strength, but something drove him in on the inside. But he started off rough. The Bible says he was the son of an harlot. That's not your ideal home situation. That's That would be embarrassing. That would be a point of shame. Your name or your heritage, especially with Israel, preceded you. If you were the son of somebody or the daughter of somebody great, you would be considered great just by birth. But if you were the daughter or son of someone of shame, you also would carry that mark about you. So Jephthah, the judge of Israel, although he was a mighty man, had ability, and had inner character, he was the son of a harlot, making his life difficult, shameful. I would assume that there would be mockings and teasings. It's one thing to tease somebody one time, right? But to do it over and over again, you know what happens? That sets in. And that mighty man of valor, all of a sudden his shoulders are hanging low. All of a sudden that mighty man of valor does not have confidence anymore because he's heard all his life. This is Jephthah, the son of a harlot. And over again is how he is introduced. We see that in Scripture. Of how he is introduced. Son of Gilead, son of a harlot. I don't know what your upbringing was. I don't know what you started as. I'm glad you're here today. But some have a difficult story, even in our midst here. You heard Brother Smith? Doesn't know his dad. Maybe you have a similar story. Maybe you're one of so many in a line and everybody's got a different father, or not your typical ideal situation. And a lot of times we use that as a point of shame and mockings. Unfortunately, that's what happens. Is it right? In no way is that right. But I'm happy to tell you that your past does not determine your destiny. And where you started as, quite honestly, could be very different than where you end. It seems to me, in our culture, in our society, a lot of times what happens is a certain family dynamic repeats itself over and over again. It's destructive. It's hurtful. It's a lot of times wrong. But we see that repeat itself. A family scenario, as difficult and as hard as it is, then repeats itself in the next generation, and then the next generation, and then we have a series of generations of just destructive behavior. But every now and then, God gets involved. And we take these, what we would, if you're to make a certain clay figures or certain decorations, they use something called a mold. And what the mold is, it's a sealed off thing except for a point of access to the material that you're making it in. And you pour in the material, wait for it to cool or dry, and then you pull off the mold, and there you have an object. And we do that over and over and over again, and we keep getting the same. The molds are nice because it produces the same thing over and over again. See, if I were to try and make something, even if I tried to make the same thing over and over again, each time it's a little bit different. I put the screw hole in or a little bit differently. You know, maybe my son scared me as I was cutting, and, you know, the one corner's chipped a little bit or whatever it is. Not a good idea to scare each other when you're using power equipment. Anyways. But molds produce the same thing over and over again. And a lot of times, again, and sometimes in, as strange as it may seem, we have this destructive home situation, and what happens is that it almost seems like the same mold is used in the next generation. But then God can get involved. And I feel like God sometimes can just break those molds. That's what we need. We need some people to break out of the mold. We need God to get involved in our life. Gets worse for Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up. So Gilead had a bad relationship with a woman, a harlot, and that's where Jephthah came from. But he also had a wife. And his wife bare him other sons. So here we have the complete home situation, and then we have Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. They kicked him out of the house. You want to talk about a tough start? Not only has he been shamed all of his life, but now he's had his family turn their back on him. The only family he knew, as dysfunctional as it was. Maybe he doesn't see his mom anymore. She was a harlot. Maybe the person that he lived with now, both Gilead and his new wife, whoever that is, kind of stepmom there. That was as mean as it was, at least he had food and a place to call home. And they would mock him and tease him. To the point where all the brothers got together and said, Jephthah, you're never going to get what dad has. Get out of the house. And they kicked him out. Kind of heartbreaking if you think about it. What's Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 real quick. Hold your hand in Judges chapter 11. Say, why are you spending so much time on these first two verses? Because, quite honestly, that's a lot of our similar stories. The people that we are today is not the group that we started with. It started off a mess. But then God got involved. And God changes us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Know what that means? That God can take something ugly. In verse 21, it says that you are alienated and enemies to God. And he can take that alien, like Jephthah, son of a harlot, whose stepbrothers came to him, and somehow it was allowed in the family to kick him out of the family. Maybe your situation's similar. I'm just saying that your past does not determine your destiny. Jephthah ends up becoming a great judge for God and does great things. And you know what? God can do great things with your life. Hey, I don't know if your life is a mess. I don't know if you know your dad or know your mom or your cultural situation or whatever it is that's going on in your life. But God can give you a new family. He can give you new friends. He certainly can give you a new future. And he can take that mold that has been repeated over and over and over again and break that thing and establish you holy, unblameable, unmovable. He can take something a mess and make it good. Just because of where we started doesn't dictate where we're going to end. Say, well, I'm raised in church. I know exactly what to say. I know exactly what to do. Hey, I want you to understand that your past doesn't determine your destiny either. Because John chapter 8, look at John chapter 8 in verse 12. Oh, you got a good start. You're not like Jephthah. Mom and dad are in church and they brought you to church and you went kicking and screaming. Man. Brother Sutliff, don't you wish someone dragged you to church when you were a kid? Yeah. John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." I want you to pay attention to that next word. Say, it's just a pronoun. It says he. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know what? That means one day you're going to have to get your own little flashlight. That means one day you're going to have to figure out how to walk by faith and allow God and Jesus Christ to lead you. Yes, you followed mom and dad for a good long time and you've relied on their faith and you've relied on their prayers and you've relied on their habits of Christianity. But one day you are going to have to be the one that says, "All right, now Jesus Christ, you lead me." Even though you were raised in church, even though you had a good start, your good start does not determine your destiny. One day, the light's going to have to be yours. One day. Back to Judges chapter 11. So what does Jephthah do? Does he leave? Did he take the kick out? Did he try and figure things out? Did he work something out? Did he build a house on the backside? What did he do? Verse 3, "Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men in Jephthah. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him." (Clears throat) I think the Lord puts words in the Bible for a reason. He could have said, God perfectly could have said, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in a land, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah. But he told us where he went. The land of Tob shows up twice in your Bible, both in this chapter. We have no other reference to it. Do you know what it means? Here is a danger, and God gives us a little window into human character and human habits that many fall prey to, just like Jephthah. Let me explain. Starts off the son of a harlot. He's mocked and ridiculed all his life to the point where one day his brothers take him and say, you need to leave this house. You are not welcome here. And Jephthah, much like many people that start off rough, feel like they have a license to behave in a way that is contrary to the word of God. The word Tob means mine. You know what happens to people? Know what frequently happens to people that have had a rough start? They feel like, I have license to just focus in on me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't understand. And you know what? Quite possibly I do not. And I recognize my inability to understand certain situations, because I have not been through that. But we need to be careful that we not run to the land of Tob, where we get so self-consumed with my personal disaster. What does it say? He met men. How were these men that he surrounded himself with? They were vain men. Tell me about people that are vain. I'll tell you about vain people. Are you taking a picture? No, I'm just fixing my hair. How do I, is this all right? Okay. Hey, how did I do today? Didn't I do good? That's who he surrounded himself with in the land that is named Tob, which means mine. Hey, I don't disagree that Jephthah had a rough go, and I don't know if I would have handled it any different. But we got to be very careful that when a bad circumstance comes about that is completely out of our control, that we don't retreat to the land of Tob and surround ourselves with vain people. Because what will happen is we'll just be as proud as ever. And we'll use that as a license to misbehave, contrary to God. We've got to be aware. You know what? Know what Jephthah ends up having? An incredible heart of humility. You know what? In each circumstance, there's both a positive and negative side. The positive of Jephthah is he is going to be incredibly compassionate to those that are without. Why? Because that's where he came from. That's where he was raised. You know what? When he sees, as a judge, a young man hurting because he's been mocked and ridiculed, he's going to be incredibly compassionate to that. Incredibly sensitive to that. But you know what? There's a negative side to that also. He might get incredibly self-centered. We have to be aware of those things. With each circumstance, there is both a positive and negative side. And we have to be aware of the negative side to protect ourselves from retreating and running from our brethren to the land of Tob. Surrounding ourselves with vain men. Because that'll hurt us. Jephthah had a tough start. Understand that your past does not determine your destiny. We need some young people to break molds. We need some old people to break molds. Old people. Old people are not young people. All right? So if you're like, am I young? No. If you're not, if you don't know that you're young, then you're part of the old group. Okay? We have two groups of people. Young people, old people. All right? Say, where are you? Old people. I'm in the old people group. I got it. So then what happens? Well, the people of Ammon come. And they're like, hey, we're going to destroy you. And they're like, oh no. No, we need a mighty man of valor to lead us. But we just kicked him out. So what do we need to do? Well, they were smart. They went and got him. Hey, you know what? There's a good chance, I'm just warning you, there's a good chance sometime throughout the next day you might make a mistake with somebody. There's a good chance. Get that situation right as quick as possible. When you recognize that, hey, I might have mishandled that, have the humility to go back and fix it. His brothers come to him in verses 4 through 11. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead, who's that? That's his brothers, went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. All morning we've been talking about the mistreat of Jephthah by his brothers. But understand this also. Hey, when you get in that place, it's good to have brethren that are going to come and get you out of there. He's in a place that he shouldn't have been. He was in a very proud state. The fact that God gave us the land that he went in, and he used the word vain in that same verse, indicates to us this condition that he was in. I'm glad he had a brother to say, hey, come back. We messed up. I'm sorry. We need you. Say, no, I'm just gonna let Jephthah rotten over Tob. That's where he wants to be. That's where he can stay. We talked about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 this morning, and those that are spiritual and going after those that in meekness. Reaching out. Hey, if you get consumed in the land of Tob, understand that there might be someone knocking at your door trying to help you. Don't be so resilient to help. I know sometimes I get a little prickly like that. Just give me a minute. I don't want to be helped. But that's what we need. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me? Good question, right? And expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now that when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us. They're like, man, we're sorry. We need you. He makes a deal with them in verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? He says, if I come back and God allows us to defeat Ammon, can I be your judge? Kind of gutsy. We're talking about it again in Galatians. How Paul, being probably the most unlikely and what we would determine the worst person for the job ahead, but God used him. And God used the son of a harlot to righteously judge the nation of Israel and bring about judgment of Ammon. Please understand, where you start isn't where you end. And you have a chance to fix things. All throughout this passage, we see these... they mishandled, but they tried to make it right. Are you trying to make things right? We're humans. Man, I get myself in trouble by saying things. Say, I know you've called me and apologized. I understand. And it'll probably happen again. But I'll be the first one to try and make it right as quick as I can. Be careful. Careful that we not stay in the land of Tob. So they present this to him, and then look at where he goes in verse 11, or verse 10. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us. I want you to pay attention to that phrase. The Lord be witness between us. So they're making a vow. And they said, okay, God sees this if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Again, I feel like he puts words in there for a purpose. Why did he tell us where he went? Why didn't he just say, and they made an agreement, and they shook hands, and they were all good with it, and they said, God, if you'll oversee this, and we'll keep our promises. Why does he say the land of Mizpah? What's Mizpah? Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 44. What's happening here? Well, Jacob's about to leave the influence of his father-in-law, Laban. Jacob worked hard for two people. Well, he thought it was one person, but he got two, Rachel and Leah. In verse 44, now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, that it may be a witness between me and thee. Similar wording of Judges chapter 11. The elders of Gilead said, let God be a witness between us. And Jacob took a stone and set it for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jegar-Sahaddath. And Jacob called it Gilead. Much easier to say. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Mizpah, or Gilead. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. You know where Jephthah goes after they make a covenant? He goes to Mizpah. A land or a place that is known among the Jews as a place where a covenant was established between two people and God. And he utters all the words that have been said there. And he takes it to the Lord. And now we read verse 11 again. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. You know what? Jephthah makes an agreement with the people. But he didn't just make an agreement with the people that day. He made an agreement with God. He made a vow to God and said, God, I'm going to allow you to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I just ask that you watch over me. Lead me and guide me. That's the significance of Mizpah. Hey, how great that he left the land of Tob and now is dwelling in the land of Mizpah. Where are you today? Are you making agreements with the Lord and with the brethren for things that are good? Or are you living in the land of Tob, the land of mine, that's surrounded by vain things? Jephthah goes on to defeat the children of Ammon. It's a funny story if you read the passage. He sends out messengers and he's like, all right, Ammon, what are we going to do here? I'm in charge now. I'm captain. Are we going to fight or are we not? And they're like, oh, no. Listen. Your people came in and took our land. We're just taking back what's ours. He's like, let me explain to you the truth, he says. We just wanted to pass through. And you said we couldn't. So remember a little guy named Sihon? Well, he went up against Israel and lost. Therefore, we got the land. And God gave it to us, he says. He says that in verse 23. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? He's like, are you sure you don't have right to this? He says, I like this. He kind of mocks him a little bit. Verse 24. I like trash talk just a little bit, so it's kind of nice. Wilt thou possess that which Chemoth, thy God, giveth thee to possess? He's like, are we going to pull out the God cards? Because I have Jehovah, and you have Chemoth. So do we want to lay down the line there? And they're like, yeah, let's go. So Jephthah goes, all right. God, if you give me the victory, the thing that comes through my door, I will offer to you. Say, why on earth would he say something so foolish? Ever say something that you wish you could take back? Hey, what are you doing next Saturday? Oh, nothing. Great. Can you help me move? Oh, man. Sure. Great. No problem. How many pianos do you guys have? Three? Upstairs, downstairs. Ever say something serious that you shouldn't have? Oh, man, once those words come out, you're like, oh, come back. Wish I could get those back. He said it. He says before God. Why would he say something like that? I had to think about it for a while. Why on earth would anybody... Why would you set yourself up like that? The potential for something coming through the door that you don't want is, I would consider, high. But understand what he said. He said, if we win, the thing that comes through the door, I will offer to you. You know what he was expecting? Spoil and rewards. He was expecting to take over the Amorites. And when they came through, and when they brought the loot from the land, he would take it all and just give it to God. But instead, who comes dancing in? Literally dancing. La, la, right? It would be like Sophie, right? I could just imagine. She just, la, 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 la. Little Sierra. Remember Sierra? Sierra. That's how she walks. And just, la, 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 la. Dancing. He's like, well, that's all right. His only daughter. The man that came from an awful background. Had a rough start. God somehow blessed and allowed him to be... That's probably exactly what happened. Garrett, can you go check on that? Thanks, buddy. Excellent job, Garrett, on the emergency lights. Look at that. They all are on. Very good. We got two electricians going on that. All right, very good. It's not like we need air conditioning today. It's fine. All right, we'll finish up and we'll get to lunch. All right, so what happens? So here comes Spritey little daughter. She comes dancing in. Why? Because he wasn't expecting that. He was expecting the spoil to come through. He was expecting the loot from taking over the Amorites. He says, if we take over the land, will you allow it to... I'll just give it all to you, God. And then his daughter comes walking in. So what does he do? Well, she goes up into the mountains, and it says that... what does she do? She laments over the fact that she's going to be killed. But she goes through it. And every year there's a memorial of that. Say, oh man, that's a rough ending to the story. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, it mentions Jephthah, to which then lists that he was able to subdue kingdoms. You know what's remembered about Jephthah? You know what? Unfortunately, what we do is we remember the vow. We don't remember all the background of Jephthah. We don't remember that he broke a mold. We don't remember that he was a child of ridicule and mockings and hurt. We don't remember that. We should. Because that's how God remembers him. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says nothing of the vow. It says nothing of his daughter. It says everything of his faith. don't know where you started. I'm sorry if it was hard. But understand you'll have an opportunity to minister to people in a way that some others will not. There's a benefit and a blessing to it. There's also a warning. Be careful. Be careful that you not get proud. Be careful that you not live in Tob. Be careful that you not surround yourself with vanity. Stay humble. No, no. You need to live in Mizpah, a place where covenants are made between God and man. Tenderness and gentleness between the heart of man and the sovereign God, who can take a broken life and use it to accomplish His great work. Understand that. Let's all stand. I don't know where you started in your life. I don't know how it all goes. Everyone's got a story, though. And if your one was a rough start like Jephthah, well, please know this. It doesn't have to end that way. God can get in there and change you. Make you holy. He can use you. Even in a way that you never thought. Hey, Christian. Raised in a Christian home, be careful. Be careful that you get a light for yourself. You personally need to follow Jesus. I'm glad you had a good start. Let's be careful that we're living in Mizpah and not in Tob. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for Jephthah and his faith. Lord, I pray that we would consider him in our life. Lord, that we would not get so consumed with our circumstances that we become proud. God, our heart would always be soft and tender, and that we would be quick to make covenants with you, and that you would oversee us and lead us and guide us, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for the faith of Jephthah, that the son of a harlot could subdue a kingdom. Lord, I pray that you could take our broken lives and do great things with them. Lord, we love you today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a minute, we're going to dismiss and we're going to go out here and we're going to get...